Deller. You are listening to It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars, right here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for tuning in today. It is Tuesday, February 23rd, and it must be 4 p.m. because I am on the radio. So listen, we're going to go ahead and we are going to jump right into Episode 2. Last week we talked about Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. I gave you a detailed recap. You're welcome. This week, you're getting a detailed recap of Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. But before we do that, I want to jump into some starcabulary so we're all on the same page. You feel me? I feel me. Let's do this. So first, we have clone troopers. What's a clone trooper? Let me tell you. A clone trooper is a highly trained soldier in the Army of the Republic. They are bred from the genes of the bounty hunter Jango Fett and kept the peace for the Galactic Republic. Now, if you're thinking, gosh, I don't even know who Jango Fett is. I don't even know what the Galactic Republic is. That's why you're here and listening to the show, because I'm going to explain it to you. So don't trip, chocolate chip. It's all good. Next, the Jedi Code. It's the code of conduct intended to help establish, regulate, and maintain the general behavior of all Jedi. So this is kind of a way that they can keep the peace with people. Everybody knows what's happening with the Jedi. The Jedi know what's happening with the Jedi. It's kind of like, let's see, it'd be like a catechism for the Jedi. Perfect. There you go. And finally, the Death Star. The Death Star is a moon-sized deep space mobile battle station constructed by the Galactic Empire. Ta ta ta. So this is basically their secret weapon that they use to scare the Jedi and the people of the Republic, so on and so forth. So, now that we're all on the same page, let's say we get into a little Star Wars Episode 2. You feel me? Yeah, let's freaking do it. Alright, folks. Here we go. Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, as told by yours truly, DJ Stellar, on Penguin Radio. Alright, so first of all, we've got the Galactic Republic, and the Galactic Republic is the good guys. And we also have the Galactic Empire. The Galactic Empire is the bad guys. So, Republic, good. Empire, bad. What is happening? What's going on? Let's skip through that. So, we find the Republic is in crisis. Oh no! In the last episode, we saw that there was a problem with the Trade Federation. Queen Amidala had to do a lot of negotiating with the people of the Trade Federation to try to get them on her side, so on and so forth. This time, there's a new crisis unfolding before us. The Sith leader, Count Dooku, is threatening an attack on Naboo. Poor Naboo, dude. Naboo gets beat up all the time. It's just the home planet of Queen Amidala. Like, let her do her, dude. Queen Amidala returns to Coruscant again and barely avoids an attack to kill her. So, apparently, the dark side found out that Queen Amidala was heading back to Coruscant to work some things out, and they felt like that would be a good time to try to kill her. Sick. Thanks, everybody. So, she was going to Coruscant to vote against forming an army because Queen Amidala was all about keeping the peace, everybody love everybody. She was a little, far-fetched to think that that would actually work because sometimes you need an army, you feel me? Palpatine has Amidala put under protection, the protection of Obi-Wan and Anakin. And this is funny because Anakin's still got the hots for Padme, for Queen Amidala, so he's totally psyched about it. And Obi-Wan is, I think he's kind of catching on to what's happening between Anakin and Queen Amidala, but we'll see. Bounty Hunter again tries to kill Padme, and she's this nasty bounty hunter. She looks like a normal woman, but when she gets killed, turns out that she can actually shapeshift. So she actually turns into this like fishy, gross character. And she tried to kill Queen Amidala using these nasty worms. She just threw them into her room while Queen Amidala was sleeping. Also, sidebar, Queen Amidala's name is also Padme. So if I say Padme throughout this situation, just know it's Queen Amidala. Fair warning. So the bounty hunter, yeah, tries to kill Queen Amidala with the worms. She puts them in her room, but the Obi-Wan and Anakin feel a little disturbance in the Force, and they run into her room and they chop them up like sushi or chopped liver or something. So again, she avoids a murder. And then Anakin and Obi-Wan jump into their pod race and they have a rad little chase around the system of Coruscant. And they end up capturing the bounty hunter and they say, hey, dude, like, tell us who you're working for. And she's like, nah, bro, I can't tell you. So she kills herself instead of... Oh, you know what? That's not true. Right before she says the name of the person, somebody shoots her with, like, a snipe shot from way up high. And so then she can't say who it was. I don't think she was going to say who it was anyway. I think she was going to give him a fake name. But, you know, that's just me. So after that, Obi-Wan decides that he's got to investigate the murder, or the attempted murder, rather, while Anakin accompanies Amidala back to Naboo. So, bah, chicka, wah, wah. Anakin gets to go with his lover back to her home planet, like, holla. That's freaking awesome. So as he's doing that, Obi-Wan again is looking into who was trying to kill Queen Amidala. He's looking at the dart that was used to kill the bounty hunter who was trying to kill Queen Amidala. So on and so forth. So Jar Jar's back. He's standing in the Queen's place in Coruscant while she's in Naboo. And he pretty much is just in the Senate voting on things that he thinks Amidala would vote for. Obi-Wan goes back to a planet called Kamino and finds this clone army being made. And it's being made for the Republic. So he goes to this planet, and it's a rainy planet, so I would for sure live there, absolutely. And he finds that this army is being made. And apparently it was ordered to be made by some Jedi that really nobody knows about. And he died shortly after he put in the order for the army. And so he's some dead Jedi that apparently can order armies to be made. That's kind of a sick power. I'd be completely down with that. So yeah, literally nobody knows who this Jedi is. They've heard of him, but he's not in any of the Jedi archives. And the gene code that was used for these clones is after a bounty hunter named Jango Fett. So Obi-Wan tries to talk to Fett, but they get into a little tussle, and Jango takes off in his super cool ship, and as he's leaving, Obi-Wan throws a tracker on him so that he can follow him, and Obi-Wan then follows him to this planet, and while all this is happening, Anakin tells Padme that he's still got the hots for her. And Padme's like, bro, cool it. Like, I'm super important and you're super important. And in the Jedi Code, it says you can't even get married. So probably relax. So then, I mean, they try to ignore their mutual love for each other. But they're just flirting it up in Naboo, honestly. They're not doing anything. They're just flirting the whole time. So Anakin, there's this weird scene where he, like, chops up her fruit for her. At dinner. I guess that's a sign of affection these days. These crazy kids, I don't even know anymore. So they eventually kiss, and they're like, darn it, we shouldn't have done that. Well, that's what Padme says, but Anakin's completely down with it. So she is the completely level-headed one until she realizes how much of a babe Anakin is. She's completely into it. So after they realize they both have feelings for each other, Anakin starts having these dreams about his mom, and he takes this as a sign that he's supposed to go and find her and save her and or free her. He doesn't really know what's happening with his mom at this point because he never calls her. I call my mom at least, I don't know, 3 times a week. He clearly hasn't called her in years, so props for being a bad son. It's whatever. So he and Padme then go to his home planet, and he finds that his original owner, Watto, the guy with the wings, that's really gross. He sold his mom to a moisture farmer who married Shmi and took her in. So this guy, this moisture farmer, came to Anakin's original slave owner and was like, yo, Shmi's a babe. Let me buy her off you real quick one time. So obviously Watto's just completely into money, and he takes the money and he runs for his life. And Shmi did end up loving the moisture farmer, so it's not like she was forced into some crazy paid for marriage. It's like shipping brides. That's a whole other story. So when Anakin and Padme get to the stepbrother's house, the house of the moisture farmer, they find that his mom was actually kidnapped a month earlier by Tusken Raiders. Now, let me tell you something about Tusken Raiders. They're nasty. They make this horrible sound when they are about to attack somebody. They were actually in episode 1, but it was just for a quick second. They were at the pod race on Boonta'een, and they make this just horrible sound. I mean, I don't know that there's any good raider. I mean, look at the Oakland Raiders. Like, everybody hates them, but it's completely fine. So, yeah, the Tusken Raiders are nasty, and they've stolen Shmi, Anakin's mother. So Anakin goes to the Tusken camp and pretty much holds his mom in his arms while she dies, and she's like, I love you, and he's like, retweet, like, I love you too, mom. This is sick. And then he proceeds to kill literally every person in the camp. So, anger issues? I don't know. Shout out to Anakin. Maybe take a chill pill. Literally, figuratively, in every way. So, he kills the women, the children, the men. He even kills a dog at one point. Like, bro, what did the dog do? The dog just had the unhappy instance that he got placed with these Tusken Raiders. I'm sorry. That sucks. So, then obviously Yoda and the Jedi Council feel a disturbance in the Force. They're not really sure what's happening, but they know something real bad has happened. So then Anakin takes his mom's body back to Tatooine, which is his home planet, where they hold a funeral. And it's very emotional. It's a very sad scene. If you're a crier or prone to cry, you're probably going to cry at that part. Then Obi-Wan has been captured by the Trade Federation and puts out a message to the Republic saying that Dooku is evil. I'm going to use the new droid army to kill Amidala. Count Dooku was one of the Sith Lords that I talked about in the beginning. So this seems kind of weird to me because, I don't know, why do you need a whole army to kill one chick? I mean, later on, stormtroopers completely miss every time they shoot. They miss their target every time they shoot at them. But I feel like you could do a lot of things with a droid army and it doesn't have to just be, you know, killing one chick. But, I mean, do you, brother. You gotta do what you gotta do, right? So, Anakin and Padme go to the planet where Obi-Wan is being held. And in the process of saving him, they themselves get captured because they're great planners and really thought the whole thing through, apparently.
Psych.
So then the three are brought to an arena where three huge creatures are supposed to execute them. This is a fun little moment in time where they're chained up against these pillars, all three of them. And of course, I mean, they're two Jedis and a sassy little minx that, like, really, you really think they're going to be held down? I don't. So that's sick. Obi-Wan ends up riding his creature around, and obviously the three of them make it out alive. Funny part, though, Padme gets slashed in the back by this big nasty creature that's supposed to kill her, you know, and she, I don't know, part of her clothes get ripped off. That's convenient, but there's no blood, so she's got tough skin, apparently. That's lucky. So then a massive group of Jedi, so after they have captured their little creatures that were supposed to kill them, the Sith Lords release a droid army, and then they're supposed to obviously kill the rest of the people. So then the Jedi show up in this massive just throng of people, and everybody's slashing and shooting and not banging. Darn it. They're just killing. There's just death everywhere. And right when the droid army looks like they about to take some names, Yoda rolls up with his clone army, and they take over. They completely kill it. And so then they kind of regain help for the good guys, the Republic. And the big battle kind of ends a little bit right there. After that, Dooku tries to escape, but Anakin and Obi-Wan corner him. And they get into this whole fight sequence, yada, yada, yada. Obi-Wan gets stunned by, I feel like somebody gets stunned every time. But anyway, Obi-Wan gets knocked out real quick. Anakin's arm gets shanked off. And, Dooku's about to kill Obi-Wan and Anakin, but Yoda, again, rolls up, saves the day again. And after that, Obi-Wan tells the Jedi Council about the Sith's plans, and the Senate being run by the dark side, so on and so forth. And Anakin and Padme get married secretly on Naboo, with C-3PO and R2-D2 being their witnesses. So, a lot of real just drama happening throughout this whole episode. And that concludes our recap. 4, Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. You made it. We all made it through the most difficult part. Congrats. So we're going to go on a quick break, and we'll be back. Stay tuned, friends. This is radio.dominican.edu. Welcome, welcome, friends, back to It's a Trap. I'm your host, DJ Stellar. You're listening to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars, on radio.dominican.edu. Uh-oh, I'm joined by a guest whose name is Jake from State Farm.
It is Jake from State Farm.
And Jake is here because he is my friend. And he loves Star Wars too. And it's one of the things that originally just brought us together. Hold my hand.
Don't touch me.
Please hold my hand.
We're holding hands.
Oh, it's so clammy.
Yeah.
And so Jake is here because he knows some things about Star Wars. I know some things about Star Wars. We're going to share what we know about Star Wars. But first, Jake, let's get to know you as a person. Ooh. Who are you, Jake?
I am your friendly neighborhood average guy here on campus.
Okay, great.
I do nothing with my free time. And I'm just really excited to be out of my room because it feels like a cave sometimes.
Yeah, you made it, dude. I'm proud of you. This is a big deal.
The sun burned when I walked outside. The sun really
burned. Yeah, that's rough. I appreciate that you made the trek. You could have done some like sunscreen and hats and stuff to protect, but it's cool. Jake loves comic books. Have you read Star Wars comic books?
Yeah,
that's a main question for you.
The Marvel line actually just picked up ever since Disney reacquired Star Wars, and
Disney
owns Marvel
what?
Now. Marvel picked Star Wars up. They ran comics from the very beginning in 77 all the way to 98, I believe, or 86. I don't know. I might be really wrong.
That's okay.
86. They ran him from 77 to 86, and then Dark Horse Comics picked him up, and Marvel just got him back.
Wow, you really know things about stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That is wild. So, Jake, we're talking about Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. I know. This is actually one of my least favorite movies, and I know that everybody bags on me because I love Phantom Menace, and
Why would they bag on you for that, Allie?
Stop. I will never recant my love for Phantom Menace. Sorry, not sorry. But what are your initial thoughts about Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones? Give me some feedback so I can know where we're at.
For me, Attack of the Clones was
trash. What?
Well, okay. Sorry. Well, I'm going to say that in a, you know, a more refined way. You know, Phantom Menace was a big misfire. No offense, like not even making fun of you at this point.
How rude.
It was, you know. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's
that was
great.
A really huge misfire, and that kind of lost a lot of people's, not faith in, but they got a little shaky, you know?
I'm offended at this
point.
And
then Attack of the Clones was announced, like, you know, people knew it was coming, but Attack of the Clones was on the way.
Yeah.
And people figured, okay, well, you know, everyone stumbles on the road to greatness, so maybe Attack of the Clones. We got through all of the preliminary Phantom Menace knowledge, and now that we're in the heat of it, Attack of the Clones gave us something great. I think Attack of the Clones really fell on that front also and brought the prequel era into even darker depths. So that's where I see Attack of the Clones. The rock bottom.
I just felt like I could use that right there, so I
did it.
It
was good.
Thank you. I feel like it was appropriately timed. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, except for the whole part about Phantom Menace being trash, because obviously I don't...
Agree or disagree?
Okay, deal. I love it. So, who introduced you first to Star Wars? Let's get a little of that knowledge up in this, Hizzy. Did you just find it yourself? Did your parents make you watch it as a child?
I would say
what's the story?
The initial introduction. Oh, my goodness.
Whoa,
title
scroll. More powerful than I was expecting, even. Go on.
The initial introduction came from my dad, who is a really devout Catholic, and he went to Sunday school. Not Sunday school, but he went to church every Sunday and went to, like, you know, little Catholic classes in between. And he had only missed church three times through his first 18 years of life. And those three times were for the three different premieres of episodes, what are now 4 through 6, A New Hope.
Wait, they were released on Sundays?
No, but like he didn't have time to go on Fridays because he was on the sports teams.
Got it.
And the only time he was free was Sunday. So those were the three only times he ever missed church.
So you're basically trying to tell me your dad's a baller.
He's a baller.
That's what's happening.
And then that was the initial introduction. And I would just say, like pretty much all other, if you want to call it nerd culture,
I do want to call it nerd culture.
Yeah,
you're right.
I found my big fire and love for all things Star Wars on my own. And
that's
ever
beautiful.
Since, it's just been kind of this background part of my life. You know, you can kind of tie a lot of things back into Star Wars. Like
everything gets tied back into Star Wars.
Agreed.
Why is the sky blue in Star Wars?
Same way the Force travels through all beings.
That's beautiful. Wow, what a turnaround. Nux, dude. Okay, we got it. So let's talk about your favorite character in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Do you have a favorite character?
Yes.
No, actually, pause.
Okay.
Let's start with what your favorite episode is in the series.
Right.
Then we'll talk about...
Okay, so favorite episode.
Yes.
Okay, favorite episode is... Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back.
Beautiful.
Which
Beautiful.
Is a masterclass in storytelling, filmmaking, and...
Musical score.
Yeah, well, everything, really.
All of the above. You're right.
10 out of 10.
Great. Okay, so now favorite characters, not just in Episode 2. Just favorite character
okay.
all around.
Favorite character all around, Darth Vader.
Classic.
Which...
too bad I don't have my Darth Vader sound right now.
Yeah,
it.
Dang, you kind of used it earlier.
Missed it. I botched that one, dude.
Darth Vader is one of the most multi-layered, faceted villains in not just Star Wars mythos, but all of pop culture. And which it's weird to say is my favorite because there are a lot of things about the prequels that I don't really think teed up his character development really well. But if you look at just episodes 4 through 6 and then his legacy now in episode 7, Darth Vader is just one of these forces in nature. Not again, not just in the world of Star Wars, but in the world of pop culture. So, there we go.
There it is. Jake, I have one thing to say to you.
I am your father.
Oh, man.
That's weird.
That is a little weird.
Steven?
So, great. Is that you, Dad, the baller? Is that you? Yeah, it is me. So, now let's talk a little more specifically to Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. If you just tuned in, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. So who favorite character from Star Wars Episode 2? Let's hear it. People want to know.
On a very general level, Mace Windu, because Sam Jackson is a stud, and he has a purple lightsaber, and purple's my favorite. And a little backstory, there's supposed to be a reason why each Jedi had blue, green, or red, but Sam Jackson just said, hey, George, can I get a purple one? Because that'd be cool. So now just because there's purple lightsabers and that's
and
Sam Jackson.
Shout out.
But I only like Sam Jackson for his use in, let's say, like the Clone Wars cartoons or the Attack of the Clones animated miniseries that came out during the film.
He looks good as a cartoon.
He
Can
does.
Can we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
His bald head shines and shimmers.
It's
that's
beautiful.
All I know. Yeah, go on.
But in the prequel movies, other than the one battle on Geonosis. And Attack of the Clones, and then his untimely death in Revenge of the Sith. He doesn't really do much other than sit around in the council.
It's true.
So
but he sits well.
Yeah. Well, he's
Darn
a good-looking
it.
Guy.
Yeah, he's a great-looking guy.
I would say Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi is my favorite character, not just in Attack of the Clones, but throughout the prequel era, because just as much as it's a story of Darth Vader, I think it's the story of Obi-Wan coming into his own from being, we see him as a Padawan in the first episode, to becoming a Jedi Master and then one of the most historic and coveted Jedis of all time.
You're right.
It's
deep stuff, dude. I love it.
Thanks.
How about least favorite character?
Oof.
Let's start with the whole thing, and I feel like I know what you're going to say. But other than that, so first any of the other episodes, and then after that we'll go into specifically this one. So
okay.
Least favorite character, hit it.
Least favorite character all around?
Mm-hmm.
I would probably... You know, the easy answer is Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of obvious reasons, so I really don't think I need to waste everyone's time.
Well,
and not offend you.
I just feel like Jar Jar gets a bad rap.
Well, you can understand why.
Well, that smells stink-a-whiff.
I try to not laugh after I use those, but I can't.
Really
funny.
Fun fact about Jar Jar Binks,
yeah,
though.
Give
I'm
it
sorry
to me.
If you already touched upon this in last week's episode,
mm-hmm.
but Michael Jackson lobbied beyond hard to play the role for Jar Jar Binks.
I actually didn't know that.
He
so thank you for that.
Tried to he attempted to move mountains.
Did he?
To become Jar Jar Binks.
You're kidding, actually. What?
Swear on my life.
And the baller life of your dad?
Yeah, Stephen Michael Boltz.
Wow, that says something. Michael Jackson, did it say why? Do you know why?
I think I don't want to say anything because I don't want to like just
I don't want
give
Lucas
false
Films
information.
To be on me after.
Yeah, I don't want copyright.
All right, sick.
Yeah, but I do know that as a fact, that he wanted it really bad.
That's
and he just
reckless.
Did not get it.
That's hilarious. Okay, so least favorite from Attack of the Clones. Do you have one? It's kind of...
This is...
Honestly, there's not a lot of character development in the entirety of Episode 2. It's just kind of... People are just chilling. It's like, well, here we are.
I think if you want to look at a... You know, you want to take a class on what not to do in terms of developing characters. And, you know, Attack of the Clones is a really good lesson. And then this is really contradictory because my favorite character is Darth Vader, but my least favorite character in Attack of the Clones, and I would say the prequel era, is Anakin Skywalker.
Called it.
Because I've just in these whole prequel movies, you know, this is supposed to be the genesis of Darth Vader, who was really the driving force for the entirety of the Star Wars saga, right?
Right.
And instead of getting this... There is a tragic backstory and everything, and you can see a lot of why he becomes Darth Vader, but we instead get this really whiny...
Needs
Mopey,
love.
Mopey. Has to be reminded that he, like, you know, loves Padme and what the Jedi Order... You know,
weak.
It doesn't seem like... It seems more like a character who would simply, you know, get smacked by, you know, Obi-Wan or whoever, or get found... I don't know.
He's
to me, it doesn't
issues.
Seem like the deep... kind of character that becomes Darth Vader, and it's almost like a separate character, you know?
He's an onion, bro. You gotta peel back the layers one at a time. He's just a little baby onion in that one.
Well, just the way...
chive.
Just the way they said... Like, the way they said it, the way they were... The character doesn't work for me. I don't like
all
those
right,
kinds of characters.
That's fine. You know, that's okay. I'm not gonna try to protect
it's
Anakin
because
I don't really...
It's not the Sith Lord that I want.
He's a babe, though. Hayden Christensen. Really? 10 out of possible 10. Would recommend.
Okay.
Okay, deal. Great. All right, so do you have any kind of ideas about what they could have changed or improved or done better? Obviously, you don't think Attack of the Clones is that killer, so let's hear it. What do you think could have been better?
Well, from the very outset, you know, Attack of the Clones takes place 10 whole years
after Phantom Menace,
and all of our characters are in a completely different place. We don't even have Qui-Gon Jinn. Played by Liam Neeson, who was...
Well, he did die.
I know, but, like, what I'm saying is he was a big part of Phantom Menace.
You're right.
You know, we're 10 years past Phantom Menace now. Everyone is in almost a 100% different place. And so it just makes Episode 1 feel more useless and, you know, not as much of, like, a contribution to Star Wars as it already was, other than Darth Maul, who, you know...
Darth Maul's the coolest.
He is the coolest.
How can you combat that? Because I feel like you gotta move on. I mean, 10 years from now, you're gonna be different. There's gonna be some people that aren't in your life anymore.
Well, right, but I don't know. There could have been more from Phantom Menace that could... You could have easily just made Attack of the Clones Episode 1 and then done
a
5-minute... Oh, when I found you on the farm and brought you to be a Jedi, you're going to rebalance the Force. Boom, done.
Crush it.
Phantom Menace. No
Over.
Jar Jar Binks setup. No weird
Jar Jar
CGI.
Binks was an integral part, okay? I don't care what you and all the haters say.
Well, yeah,
Jar Jar Binks was necessary.
He's the Dark Sith Lord.
Okay. All right, moving on. Any other improvements?
I think the love story between Anakin and Padme feels very forced.
It's so awkward.
It's really awkward.
It's
because,
so awkward. Well,
because they even have to remind each other that they're in the middle of a love story, you know? And it's like Nicholas Sparks type writing.
Yeah.
I felt you were very much like a part of my soul or something like that, where it just feels like Nicholas Sparks dollar store.
He was just crying.
Novel.
He was crying tears while Star
and
Wars
then
was being Padme's, written, I think.
Padme says something along the lines of, Anakin, I love you. And he goes, no, you don't. But I deeply, truly love you. All
right. Oh, you're right.
Padme.
Okay, like, I agree with that.
If
Padme,
we have to be reminded and they have to be reminded, it just feels like a forced love story.
It's a little weird.
And it's really awkward.
Yeah.
A lot of weird staring, a lot of platonic.
A lot of weird staring. And the cutting the fruit scene, I talked about that briefly
not
in
sexy.
My recap. Just a little weird.
Not sexy.
Here, girl, let me cut your pear for you. Like, what? And the way that he cuts, I don't know. I just have real problems with that part. But, yeah, is that the only, are those the only other improvements that you have or anything else?
I think just as a representation of the kind of weird lack of attention to detail, this is going to sound like a nitpick, but I'm that kind of guy who, you know, I need a movie to have good detail. I'm that
right,
kind, I analyze, I look at it.
Criticize.
You know, Obi-Wan is learning of the whole setup of the clone army and like how that was founded. And there's Master Sifo Dyas or whatever, you know, he commissioned it
right
a little over 10 years ago. But then Obi-Wan says, that's weird. I thought he died almost 10 years ago. But then that would mean that it was after Phantom Menace, but then you learn in Phantom Menace that he was dead before Phantom Menace even happened. So it's just conflicting information.
Yeah, that and is so, kind of awkward. I kind of skipped over that because it was conflicting, so I didn't really even go into depth about it. I was just like, hey, he commissioned it 10 years ago.
So that's a really big and interesting plot thread of, okay, we can figure out how the Clone Army started, because that's a pretty weird thing to have for an Order of Jedi Knights. But then the very little breadcrumbs of backstory that we're given doesn't even make sense.
It's
so
a little weird. It's a little...
It's not that one nitpick, but that, right. I think, as a whole, represents the kind of lack of attention to detail and a lot of the gripes people have with the prequel.
I feel that. So do you have any fan theories that you personally believe or have heard of in Attack of the Clones specifically?
No fan theories for Attack of the Clones. Only big prequel era fan theory I'm a fan of, which you touched upon, was Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks. Everybody hates him.
The Dark Sith
so
Lord.
So what is it that you know that the rest of us don't know about him?
About Jar Jar Binks?
Being a Sith Lord, yeah.
I think you just look into those cold, dead eyes and... You see evil, you know?
Well.
Dark Lord Binkle, here to take over the universe.
Is that really the name they chose?
No.
Okay.
It's my little pet name for my friend Jar Jar.
My pal, my home slice.
Well, like a fun fact, not really a theory, is because of how much people hated Jar Jar Binks, George Lucas wanted to troll the public, and the working title for Attack of the Clones was Jar Jar's Big Adventure.
I did read that.
Which gave everyone a curveball, and they thought, Dear Lord in Heaven, no.
Please.
We're going to get a Jar Jar Binks-centered film. And thank whatever gods the Jedi worship, it did not happen.
I guess that is a blessing, man. Wow. Blessing and a curse. All right. Do you have any other final parting thoughts to give us
about
Attack of the Clones?
If you want a really good palate cleanser for the prequel era specifically, Star Wars The Clone Wars is a wonderful cartoon. That goes beyond the borders of just being a cartoon for kids. It adds a lot to the prequel era. It makes you actually care about these people and this story.
Darth Maul's back in it.
Yeah, Darth Maul does make a comeback. That's a little spoilery, but it's fine if that gets you to watch it.
You know, nothing is a spoiler if it's about Darth Maul, honestly.
Truth.
Because
every single episode is on Netflix.
Blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. And if you like that, on Disney XD... There is a new cartoon, Star Wars Rebels, and it again, you think it's going to be like another kiddie show.
It does
a lot for the story. It takes place between episodes 3 and 4, and actually there is a revelation that there is another Jedi that survived Order 66.
Wow, man. Thank you for that beautiful information.
You're so welcome.
Jake, thanks for being with us today.
I was glad to be here.
We so appreciate your insight, and we are going to take a break, but we'll be right back. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Bye-bye.
It's a trap! So the people can relate to where I've been, where I'm going, what I've seen, what I've heard from the guts. Fuck the glory, just a person on a porch putting it all into recording. Many in my past and many that came before me. I just keep walking my path and blessed to share my story. Could remember everything inside of me, just wanted to fit in. Oh, oh, oh.
for pretenders. And everything I tried to be just wouldn't settle in. From the rest, do I have to run and hide? Oh, oh, oh. I never said that I want this. This burden came to me, and it's made its home inside.
It's a trap!
Welcome, welcome back to It's a Trap!
It's a Trap!
All things Star Wars with your host DJ Stellar on radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. Alright folks, it's time for a little arguing against the Empire. Nice. So the first argument that we have is... when Anakin and Padme are standing outside the Lars' house, the Lars are the stepbrother to Anakin, the guy that married Anakin's mom, Shmi. When Anakin and Padme are standing outside the Lars' house, we see their shadows projected on the side of the house. However, in the next shot, shadows have moved about 4 feet to the left, Anakin's shadow doesn't look like him, and they're gradually becoming more intense. All right, let's talk about it. The... reason that Anakin's shadow doesn't look like him is because it's Darth Vader, you fools. It's Darth Vader. How many times can I use that, you ask? A lot more, so get ready, because there's a lot more where that came from. His shadow is Darth Vader on the wall to literally foreshadow, oh man, I love words, that he's becoming evil. And the reason that the shadows move away from the house is it's a symbol that Padme and Anakin were moving away from their traditional values. So they started off at this home base planet situation, and slowly they creep away. and they become more evil together. Of course, Padme eventually turns away from Anakin, but Anakin just gets worse and worse all the time. And the shadows become more intense because it's showing Anakin becoming more intense and more dark on the inside. So, sorry, your argument is invalid. All right, next argument. In the first scene, when Padme barely escapes her death, but her decoy is killed by the explosion, Padme's hair is hanging in two sections in front of her shoulders. In the next shot showing Padme, her hair is gathered to one side, hanging over one shoulder, yet we never see her change it. This is annoying to me. This just offends me. Like, I think that this argument was made by a man, and that's fine. I'm not saying all men are wrong all the time. I'm not trying to be like a feminist right now. But I don't think you understand how many times girls flip their hair in a day. I think I've moved my hair out of my face 782 times in one day, and people probably notice like three times. So, sorry, Padme's being a normal woman. She moved her hair out of her face. Like, whoa, that's rough. Didn't see that one coming. So, I don't know. I don't think that's valid either. Next argument. The part of the movie when Obi-Wan goes to Yoda to ask about Kamino, Yoda is training young Padawans. Most of the Padawans are Padawans are baby Jedi. Sorry, didn't make that clear. It's another Starcabulary term for you. Padawans are just little Jedi being trained by bigger Jedi, or not much bigger in Yoda's case. So Yoda's training these young Jedi. Most of them are human, but one is alien-like with a reptilian face. And he moves very fast, apparently, because he starts off in the back of the group, and in the next shot, he's in the front, and the next shot, he's in the center. Now, this is funny, because at first, I thought that this was a continuity mistake, and I was like, I don't really think that I can fight this, because I think it's just they did something wrong. But it turns out that the reptilian race face, which I don't know the name of them, they moved very fast, and on top of that, the lesson before that Yoda was teaching, because when we come in, Yoda's teaching a lesson on, I think it's lightsaber tactics or something about how to use a lightsaber. Anyway, the lesson before that they had just learned was how to move quickly with the Force. So, I'm so sorry, argument number three, but you're also wrong, because he was just using the skills that he had just learned. So, now you know. Next, I would like to talk about the cloning context clues. So, last week I talked about certain people's names and how, like Darth Sidious, how we know that he was a bad guy just by hearing his name, so on. I want to talk about a few other people this time. Padme is the first woman we're going to talk about. Now, Padme gets her name from a sacred lotus called Padma. And the Padma is a symbol of divine beauty and purity in Hinduism and Buddhism. So that's a fun little detail that Padme is actually a symbol of divine beauty and purity. And she's Natalie Portman, so she's also a babe, which is also a symbol of purity and beauty, if I ever saw one. The next person is Sheev Palpatine. Now, there's not a lot of information on Palpatine, his last name, but Sheev, for real, Shiva is the massive destroyer in Hinduism, so if we didn't catch that context clue a million times before, here we are. We caught it now. Mind blown. Thank you, Sheev, for that. And finally, Jango Fett. Now, apparently Fett is slang in German for something that's cool. So Fett, bro. Sick. Don't try to make Fetch happen, but Fett apparently is happening in Germany, so that's cool. And Jango means strong or strength, so he's cool, strong, strength guy. So that's, I guess Jango Fett's a little bit better of a name than cool, strong guy. But, I mean, I would have probably gone with cool, strong guys, whatever. And also, Jango is taken also from the movie Jango, with the Jango Unchained. You know, that's how they spell it, D-J-A-N-G-O. And it's funny because both of those characters are both loner mercenary types with a harsh past. So there you go. There's a little tie-in for you if you wanted to know it. And if you didn't, you got it anyway. So you're welcome. Moving on to the next segment that we have for you, collecting the stars. This is where we talk about all things that you can collect from Star Wars. That's the name, collecting the stars. Listen, there's some exciting things that I have to tell you today that you can collect. The first thing is probably the most plausible to get. And it is Count Dooku's lightsaber. And it's on Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're interested, feel free to just dive on in there. It is only $500, which is a freaking steal, if you ask me. If you're a true fan, true playa, get your hands on one of these. So that's a pretty good deal if you're interested in collecting some sick lightsabers. The next thing, this is a little ridiculous to me. This is Anakin's braid. Are you kidding me? Hayden Christensen's braid. You can buy it. Obviously, it's not real hair. Well, I don't know. I don't have it, so I can't actually tell you. But it's the one that Hayden Christensen actually used from the movie. And this just, this seems a little weird to me. Because it's estimated to go for $4,000 to $6,000. What? Who in their right minds is going to pay $4,000 to $6,000 for the hit? Yeah, strangle yourself with the braid. Like, what is, what? Really? Okay, great. I mean, enjoy your braid and your lack of $4,000 to $6,000, I guess, if that's what you're into. Finally, there's a small, not a small part, there's a part of the movie where Obi-Wan is captured, you know, on that planet, and he's held in this little jail cell, and you can buy a part of that jail cell. Lucky you, you're welcome. And the going rate right now is $609. So again, another steal. You can go for the $500 lightsaber, you can go for the $609 cell portion, or, you know, take a big leap and just go for the $4,000 to $6,000 section. I don't know what you call that. Yeah, so there you go. There's some collectible stars for you if you are interested in showing off to your friends, impressing your boyfriend's mom. Any of those things will do. Now, let's look at the force behind the stars. I want to dive a little deeper into the lives of a few of our favorite characters. Jango Fett is the one we're going to start with. This is a weird dude, let me tell you. He's just kind of all over the place. He's cool. I mean, he's obviously very cool. But he's a bounty hunter, and nobody really knows where he came from. He's just kind of chilling. So, let's see. Jango was a young boy when this civil war broke out between the Mandalorians and his people. And so, Jango's dad brings in some of the Mandalorian fighters to live in their house with them. So he's kind of like housing a fugitive. And Jango's out in the field one day doing his farming thing for his fam like he does. And he sees these footprints and he starts to follow them. And as he's doing that, he somehow gets caught up in the middle of the fight. And the guy that's staying at their house finds Jango in the middle of this, takes him out of there, and proceeds to just take him to his home planet out of the danger of the civil war that's happening in front of him. So then that guy raises him as his own. Jango then gets raised by this man who he barely knows, and that's actually who he models his own uniform out of. So that's where that came from. Later on, we're going to meet a character called Boba Fett, who, actually we met him in this one, but he was just a babe and he didn't really know what was happening. So he's a youngin', and he also uses the same uniform pattern that his dad had. Fun story about that. And what else about Jango Fett? I think that's all. Yeah, Jango's a pretty cool dude. He's got a lot going for him, and he's a bounty hunter, so he's literally killing it. The next character is Mace Windu. And Mace Windu had this special ability that he could see shatter points in the Force. And that would allow him to kind of see how things would play out in the future and how they would affect him and the people around him. So he uses that all throughout his time in Star Wars. And he had glimpses of parts of his future. And he also at one point had a glimpse at what kind of lightsaber he would build. So he kind of got held back in, like, Jedi training because his masters thought that he wasn't good enough to kind of make his own lightsaber because every time he built it, he thought it wasn't good enough, so on and so forth. But eventually, he got himself together. He saw the future of his lightsaber, And he made it. And you know what, Mace? Shout out to you. Take your time, man. Perfectionism is, it's a thing, and I believe in it. So congrats, you did it. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And we have reached the end of our segment. So I want to say thank you so much for listening. You've been reckless. It's been reckless. And I look forward to hanging out with you guys next week when we're going to talk about Star Wars Episode 3. Thank you for listening to It's a Trap on radio.dominican.edu. Have a stellar day.